John and Rachel, and it's your Jagoff Late Night number
15.
How about that?
Yeah.
Next week we'll be learning how to drive, but
that was good.
Get our driver's permit anyway.
Yeah.
So, as we always say in the beginning of these, we would always love for you to join us here at 5000 Midnight Road. It's where we have like a little party cocktail, and tonight we have charcuterie, as a matter of fact, which we'll get into later. But just come down here 5:30 to 6:30. We record this live to tape, and then now you see us, or now you hear us on Q90. If you are hearing us or seeing us, make sure you subscribe to wherever it is. Of course, you can't subscribe to the radio.
No. But if you're listening on Q92.9, thank you so much for listening, because we've heard great things that you like hearing all these different Pittsburgh stories. And obviously, while we're thanking, we would be remiss if we didn't thank Q92.9, as well as Dryer Vent Wizard, who brings a ton of our Where You At's and G-Jets, where we dig into the communities and find out about great local businesses, great people, all kinds of fun stuff, and where to eat, of course. And thank you to People's Gas. There is a really cool new video coming out because Penguins on Parade. Do you remember the song? Bulls on Parade! Do you remember it?
I do
we'll be like, Pens on Parade! Okay, that was a little excessive. But John never sings with me.
I don't sing.
Never.
I only sing in the shower in my car by myself. That's pretty much it. So
anyway, what a show. Do you want to talk about who's coming on first, or do you want to go to the blogs?
Let's talk about the blogs first, okay? So you had the most recent blog.
And listen, I have to boast for a hot second, because I never write the blogs. You really do it most of the time. Because you are up and about. I'm getting my kids ready, or kind of
and
whatever, ready for the day. I'm not angrier.
No, I said I'm
angrier. Oh, you
angrier.
Are angrier, yeah. But what I found really interesting, was I went, and I'm sorry, I did go to the Trib first, because some of their neighborhood papers, they do have the most ridiculous criminals. Mm-hmm. So went there first. But our dear friend, Chris Pastrick, who I worked with at the Trib years ago, and he used to come on the show regularly, he did a great story that's not so great, because if you guys remember, we called it Gum-Founded Jagoff. Striped gum.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit-flavored striped gum. You guys have to remember it, like at the Penny Candy store.
Yeah.
It had like a hot taste,
tattoo.
And then it was gone.
Like,
there was a tattoo on a zebra tattoo.
Zebra.
Yes, exactly. I love that
our
audience is helping us.
Yes. There's 29 people here.
Anyway, it's gone. So basically, I was saying, like, run to the Grandpa Joe's, and there were a couple people who messaged and said, Rachel, you can still get them at the dollar store. I had no idea. So you can actually pack it up.
Yeah.
Well, they're done making it, so you better stock up on it.
Right,
so that was my Jagoff move.
And
don't take them off the shelf.
Our dumb criminal Jagoff this week was there's a person who broke into a local store and stole a whole roll of lottery scratch-off tickets.
Yeah.
And you know what those are worth the minute they find out they're gone and they turn off the serial numbers of those?
A big zero.
Zero. Let alone when you try to turn one in and think you won, you're probably going to get caught. So, dumb criminals, we love them. That's what our blog is full of. That's why we have a blog sometimes. And then on top of that,
you were angry.
This kills me. I just have to go on a rant. When you're freezing, right now, at the self-serve gas station.
Do your freezing.
You're like...
Yeah.
Like this.
Do your mug.
Like this. And you're just, I just want gas. And it goes, do you want this? Do you want that? No, I don't want a hoogie. And of course,
you have to hit.
I don't want a car wash.
Yeah, especially now.
Your car wash isn't even open this particular day. Listen, I don't need an SAT test. I just need to get gas.
Okay. Right. You feel better?
Gas pumps have videos on them. They do all kinds of things. They talk to you, but they can't decide whether it's too cold to get a car wash.
Okay, and now you feel better because you've vented. Thank God.
Please take over.
Listen, here's what I love. In our monologue area, because if you come, you'll understand, we have three different sections of Q92.9 at Steel City Media where we kind of move so that our guests see what's going on. And our monologue is typically just us and Monica and Johnny. And our guests are with us because it is crappy out tonight. Nobody wants to come out in the weather, but they really survived the weather, came out, they're going to be with us. And what a star-studded group it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the coolest part. There's this little connection to people. I love it. So first of all, Ryan Ross, you've known him for quite some time. Going back, I think, 8 years, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not someone from the Penguins. Don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I know. I was like, wait, Ryan Ross is coming?
Ryan.
I told my boys to
come.
Anyway, so we're really excited to talk to him. It has something to do with beehives, right?
Right. It's super cool. He's a filmmaker, and this is a super cool thing he did about his uncle.
Your sister's very excited from what
I
understand.
Very excited. And we found out one of our guests is extremely excited about it.
Yeah, but she's excited about everything. And you know her from your Jagoff because Megan McGinnis is with us, and she is the cheese queen. You know her from being the cheese queen, and everybody's getting their cheese from her. And she's coming on for the first time on your Jagoff Late Night, but also the first time on the podcast. She's always done like our one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
She did some radio stuff with us. She came on a Toyota tailgate. We did a jagging around. But now we're eating some charcuterie.
Right. And how remember, exciting. Charcuterie in Pittsburgh used to be a pepperoni and cheese tray that your Aunt Mabel made.
From Giant
now
Eagle.
Now it's way...
It was like, it had that gross
had a little
pickle
lazy
on it.
Susan. That's right. So Mabel. And some mustard.
Yeah.
So, but it's way better than
but
that.
But now, how does that 6 degrees of separation Kevin Bacon work?
Goes right guest? Into when I walked in, Ryan Rust was always talking about our next guest, yeah. Maria Palmer, who the author of On the Rocks, about her almost said her husband.
Yeah.
Her father, Joe Costanzo, who owned the Prima Donna restaurant. It's going to be great.
Our favorite memory is they both came on the radio when we were on every day, and we had a riot when they were on talking, reminiscing about the olden days, and everybody who's anybody in Pittsburgh remembers the Prima Donna. Maria's coming on to tell us why she's back in Pittsburgh, which makes us so happy. So stay with us on your Jagoff Late Night because you are in for quite the night.
Rach, I have to vent. Here's my dryer vent. This one time, I had found a Lee Press-On nail in my dryer stuff, and it was not mine.
Vom in the throat. One time, my kids left Kleenexes from one of their worst whooping coughs in their pocket.
Guys, you guys are such jagoffs. That's not the type of dryer venting we're talking about. We professionally clean your dryer vent to increase your dry time and save you guys some money.
For
so
4 hours.
Wet, like 10 pounds
you
wet.
You jagoffs, you need to get your dryer vents clean.
People used to celebrate hard work, the spirit of the underdog. You don't hear too much about those things anymore. The world needs more problem solvers, people who know results matter, folks with brains and elbow grease. Our work runs through just about every office building in the city like a network of veins. It's not what you are that makes you a steam fitter. It's who you are.
I've been thinking that Rorick Automotive needs a new jingle.
Rorick Automotive got the best cars around Pittsburgh.
Driving a Rorick, I bought it at Rorick. Picked up my new car at Rorick Automotive.
I got friends at Rorick Automotive where the staff is nice and the dealership's loaded with brand new cars. And you can drive real far.
It's John and Rachel, you jag off late night. It is really hard to sit here and see this little cheese platter that's going on right in the middle and not eat it. But we won't. We can enforce some like self-control.
No, you know what? I knew as a kid I would sneak cookies from my mother's cookie trays.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew how to rearrange the cookies so that nobody knew there were 6 or 7 missing. There's only one piece of cheese missing out of this corner
no,
here.
There's
but
two.
You would
I
never
took
know.
A little one.
Okay, there
yeah.
you go.
I couldn't help
So myself. Megan McGinnis, the cheese queen, is with
bum,
us.
Bum, bum.
How about that? Yay. Welcome.
Thanks, everybody.
I mean, I feel like you've been on and you know what to expect because
yes.
you've been with us on other things, but you've never done this. And we get to like hear the whole story.
Right.
You know, what we talked about was when you were on the radio, you got to tell bits and pieces about everything right now and how well everything's going. And let me tell you, it brings us so much joy to see you're on Pittsburgh Today Live. You're doing these events. You're partnering with small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just amazing to see.
Aww,
in
thank
such
you.
A short amount of time, right?
Yes, a very short
yeah.
amount of time.
So for people who don't know, you are part of, as I introduced you tonight, the McGinnis Air,
yes.
which is the McGinnis Sisters, the grocery store that everybody
yes.
knew. So the question now is, how did that sort of parlay into what you're doing? And you don't have to talk fast this time, because you were talking in 4-minute increments the last
I know.
Time we asked you.
Yes. So I grew up in the grocery industry. My dad actually owned McGinnis Brothers, which would have been in Castle Shannon, right on 88. And I remember when he first started his business, he actually had a Christmas tree farm during Christmas.
Get out! Did you
yes.
know that?
No.
Yes.
Huh.
It was right, when I say a farm, it was right in front of the parking lot that they had bought.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So they turned that in, and then in the summer, it would have been a farmer's market, just like... And
okay.
I like to say sometimes I feel like they pioneered that little fruit stand for
wow.
For Pittsburgh.
Because yeah.
that's actually how my grandpap started his business.
Get out of town.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yes. Look at my research that's not here.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a little tidbit of history. But I remember just growing up, and my mom was the cheese. She was the cheese person. You know, she bought the cheese and cheese buyer and wrapping the cheese, cutting the cheese. And I remember standing on this milk crate with her in the back room and just watching her. And I was tasting all those fabulous cheeses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when I'm saying I wasn't just having cheddar, I was having that brie infused, like that brie. Mushroom brie infused.
Wow.
Did that help you to kind of have a better sense of trying other things in life?
Yes. And I am not scared to try anything because we sold a lot of German products as well because my grandmother was German.
Okay.
So there was a lot of German meats and blood tongue and all that kind of thing.
Mm. Things that most people weren't used to having.
And we had the old-fashioned kibasi wheel. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, wow.
If you shopped with us. So that wheel is, you will never see one of those wheels. It's actually archived at Heinz History Center.
What is it?
Who is this person, and why do we not know any of this?
We would slice the kibasi down, and we would place it on this wheel, and it would just keep heating it and heating it. And people would just be able to grab a piece off without burning their hands.
Yeah.
And it would be like a little single.
Like
a little single. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I grew up just running around just grabbing that kibasi off there.
Can you imagine
now? I need one of those for a party.
Mm-hmm. I'm the cheese queen, but I also could be called the kibasi queen.
Yeah. There you go.
I love kibasi.
Right. Oh, wow. I hate kibasi.
Wow. But this is pretty awesome.
You make it sound good.
What fast forwards you to being the cheese queen at this point?
So
we have a shop in Mount Oliver.
Yes, I have a shop in Mount Oliver. I was actually the cheese buyer and specialty grocery buyer for McGinnis's. Sisters, my aunts, whenever their stores were open, and my employees used to call me the Cheese Queen, and that's where I got my name.
Oh, that's cute.
So when I decided to start my own business, I wanted to bring my love of cheese to Pittsburgh. I also wanted to capitalize on all the amazing catering that my family used to do for so many people in Pittsburgh. We were a staple on people's tables.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you're a staple now.
I am a staple now.
And I
wanted to bring that together because food brings people together.
Yes. Yeah. No
question. In so many ways.
Yeah.
And that's what I have a sign in my shop that actually says gathering around the table because that is what I feel like a charcuterie board does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can order a charcuterie tray from you that is a meal, literally, right?
You
kind of have like a cocktail hour, and by the time you're done, you don't even have to worry about ordering anything else because everybody's full.
Yes, it's not the old-time chunked cheese platter.
Yes.
That has the Rachel ruffled edge.
That Rachel was talking about before. Those are great, too.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what? There's apples and there's oranges, right?
Yes.
But I like to take my customers through a journey.
Yeah.
It's a journey. And their company sitting around with them. They're going back for different pairings. We really focus on the pairings at the Cheese Queen. We actually have a card. I should have brought one to show you where we talk about the cheeses that are on the tray, the meats, and then we also talk about the accompaniments and what pairs well with each other so that you can actually have that card sitting on your table and talk about it with your company.
That's,
so it's like team building.
Yeah, almost like team building. Yeah, and it's a fun experience, especially when you're drinking.
Who needs a Christmas
party? Right.
Monica,
when you're having wine, I mean, yeah.
So in the tray that we're looking at right now, do you work your way around? Like me, I would start at the cracker, put a piece of cheese on, then eat a piece of fruit. And that, is there a manner in which we would eat this off of this tray?
You can go in for whatever you feel like. But there are different pairings, and whenever you get a board from the Cheese Queen or a grazing table, or any type of board from us, we pair things right next to each other. So you'll see on here your triple cream brie is right by those berries and fruits.
Don't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, John. I know you want that.
Yeah.
And then the Jam from Batch, who is another local woman-owned business. Those girls are up in Saxonburg. I try to work with as many local-owned, women-owned and men-owned businesses here in Pittsburgh. I really focus on local. I just drove up there yesterday to pick up more jams and mustards, and we become a destination in Pittsburgh for their products.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So listen, you talk a little bit about pairings, and we would be remiss again if we didn't say you do hold workshops and classes and things like that where people can come. You have John's favorite, the Lunchables, that you can get your own little box, that kind of thing. We've talked about all these things, and you can obviously go to the website and find out all about that. But we are kind of approaching Valentine's Day.
Yes.
The most hated day in Rachel Rennebeck's life. I am a hate.
She doesn't need counseling.
No, I don't need counseling. And
she
I get it.
Yeah.
I've learned how to turn it around. Like, I love my children. They used to make me, because they're older now, they used to make me little Valentines.
Yes.
My husband's great. I just feel like you should tell people you love them all the time. Like,
yes.
That's just my theory. But that being, plus I was, well, it doesn't matter. But anyway, so Valentine's Day is not my favorite. But it's so commercialized, and people are looking for ways to celebrate versus the let's go spend God knows what on a meal.
Yes.
And you've sort of come up with that.
Yeah.
You are pairing Valentine's Day. Okay.
Yes, we have a fabulous, amazing menu. We actually have two new items on, so you can get charcuterie. We have an I Love You box. It's so cute.
For any time. Yeah.
It's super cute. Then you can also get a heart for Valentine's Day. Heart box. We decorate, you know, and put amazing cheeses inside. But there's two things that I love that we just added, because Valentine's Day is on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Pittsburgh is a big, I want my fish community.
Right.
So this year, you can get a shrimp and crab board from us at the Cheese Queen.
Stop it!
And then you can also get a mini cheese only board with those.
Is it creepy if I'm celebrating Valentine's Day by myself and I order myself a shrimp and crab board and just eat it all?
No, all right. We'll have it for you.
All right.
We got it for you.
I'm in.
Then we also have another option that is really nice, and it did really well over Christmas, is we have a box where we have a little cast iron skillet with a triple cream brie that goes right inside. We give you directions on how to bake that right in that skillet, and we're going to have our homemade Belgium chocolate spread with that, and then fresh berries, and we're actually going to be pairing that with brown bear bread, which is in Mount Oliver as well.
Oh, yeah, we did a podcast from there,
right. Yes, and they have the best, most amazing bread, and they're actually going to put a little heart on top of my breads this year.
That is so cute.
And, it's going to be a little sourdough, and that will come with that box.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just break off your pieces, set that on your table, and it's kid-friendly. They can kind of dip, too. My girls are 3.5 and 8, and they like brie. I liked
Brie
at that age.
Girls like Brie. Yeah, I love
Brie.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just a fun little treat.
Yeah, for sure.
So if people want to order that specifically, how early do they need to get in and get this ordered?
I would start ordering now. We've already received a ton of orders.
I bet.
And we're going to be almost at cutoff.
Oh, wow. Then when you get to sort of graduation, shower, wedding season, what's your lead time on those kind of things? Christmas?
We're booking right now for those. We're booking for weddings right now and showers and all those special events. Actually, wedding season has shifted a little bit.
Oh, get out.
And September and October, it seems like, is the busy wedding season. And we have a lot of, a couple dates that are
completely
booked.
Wow.
Okay.
How about that?
And you don't need a reason. You know, same thing with Valentine's Day.
No.
You don't need it. You could just go.
No.
I mean, John was looking for a good gift idea for his kids, and he was like, I think I'm going to go. He wanted one of those boxes. Let's not pretend.
Oh,
that
I know. Yeah. I should have brought him one tonight.
Oh, my God. I know. You're fine. But funny, you know, we gift our clients things, and one of our Rorick, our big sponsor, they love your stuff. So I was like, and we never connected because of how the holiday fell.
Yeah.
So we owe Jason Mocha.
And I can just run that right down.
Oh, my God. Look at you. Yeah, because you're up that way.
I'm right there. You just tell me, and I'll run that right down.
All right.
I know. We got to help each other.
Yeah, right. Dumbest question of the night is, how come we cut cheese with a wire? Like, what is that? Is there something wrong with the knife?
I don't think that's a dumb question.
What's the theory behind that?
So that it doesn't stick.
Oh,
so when you're cutting it with a knife, it sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that wire gets it right down into the perfect piece.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
How about that?
Wow. You can buy one of those off of Amazon if you want to get fancy.
Hey, but everybody, there's your Christmas
and
gift.
Now they list have for me, actually marble boards that you can actually have that out on your table, and we put them on grazing tables a lot where you can kind of just take that wire and cut your own little piece of cheese down.
Get out of town.
Megan, if somebody was making their own board for Valentine's Day for pairings, mm-hmm. what's the most easy kind of, you know, throw together?
It's going to be, people love chocolate and fruits and, you know, your sweetness for Valentine's Day. So the cheeses that I would recommend would be definitely a French Gruyere. That pairs, all those nuttier cheeses are going to pair really well with the chocolate.
Okay.
Because you're going to get that nutty side and then
The sweet.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I will tell you, I have to say, triple cream brie is always a staple. I probably have said it to you before.
Yeah.
It's always a staple for me. It's one of my favorite cheeses. Pairs really well with all fruits, jams, honey. Actually, this year in our offerings, I will have a lavender honey.
Ooh.
That is actually very cute, and it has a little pink lid. So
what a segue, because we have, you know, we have a honey guy.
I know.
You're all
yes.
over
yes.
it.
We
yeah,
can step out, and you can.
Yeah, you guys just talk.
I know. I can't wait to hear about
it. Yeah. Well, it has been amazing to finally have you here.
For a
and
little
it's
longer.
So cool. Yeah, what's that?
For a little longer.
A little longer than
I'm
what
so
it was
happy.
In the radio.
I'm so happy. I love you guys, and I love Pittsburgh.
You're so sweet.
And
you do love Pittsburgh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
All right,
I love
so
it.
We normally have a question of the day, but we're going to do something a little bit different. But before we do that, do you have a junk drawer item for us?
I do.
We sound tacky, but we love our junk drawers.
Yeah.
Stuff,
well,
so.
I saw that junk drawer. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
so
you see
amazing.
How full it is already?
All of my junk drawers in my home, my husband even
so
has
multiple.
His own.
Okay.
I have multiple.
Okay.
And there's always a cheese spreader in all of them.
Is. Of course.
In all of them. Yes.
Wow.
It's like
my
glasses.
Yeah, I know.
And then I also have them. I have a junk drawer at my shop.
Yeah.
And we have one that it was my grandmother's, and it's just like sitting in there.
Oh,
and
my
sometimes
God.
When customers come in, I show them that because she used to make those relish trays.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's
I know.
Awesome.
I remember you saying that.
Well,
we love it.
Awesome.
We will fist fight over that.
Yes,
because we are both cheesers.
Yes.
All right. Listen. We normally do a question of the day. We're not. Instead,
okay.
Monica is going to gear us up because we are playing a little game show coming up on February 9th with Team PTL versus Team Jags. We've been doing this as a tradition for quite a few years, and we pick a different game and we yinzerize it. So this year is Name That Tune, you Jagoff. So we thought we better start practicing because we know David Highfield has been doing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time. So we're going to try to have, should all of us just like buzz in for Name That Tune, Monica?
Who's going to be the buzzer though? Are you going to be like, bzzz?
See, we just, we should have thought this part
I think,
through.
I think we just have our
right.
guest try
just
to pick
just do
it.
Our guest?
Yeah, yeah
right.
do, yeah.
If I know it, sit on my hands?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
I'm going to play 3 to 5 seconds.
Okay.
Only.
All
right. 3 to 5 seconds,
cut.
And then you guess it. And if
all
she
right.
doesn't get it within 3 to 5 seconds,
oh, we get
then
to try.
You
try.
Yes, okay.
And Megan, the reason is we don't have the rules ready for the game show yet, so we're just throwing it out there.
Okay, that, no, that it's all good. I'm here for it.
Okay,
okay ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh.
Oh.
One more time.
If I could walk 5,000 miles.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really
nice
good.
Done. Nice
okay.
done.
Okay. That's how much I like you, because I was not, I was going to jump
well,
in.
Well, I will tell you, I know every word to every song, but I can't, I don't remember names.
Yeah.
Or the pressure.
Yeah,
the pressure of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I just
really
was like,
good.
Whoa.
And I would walk
Megan,
5,
where do we find you online?
Okay, I will remember my website this time.
It happened.
The Cheese Queen, 412.com. And you
we
can find
it.
Me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook.
All the places. You're
all
everywhere.
All the places, yeah.
And seriously, hit her up. Go over to the Mount Oliver area. Check the place out, but definitely follow because there's so much Pittsburgh there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
You're talking
thanks
honey
so
next. You jag off late night.
At People's Natural Gas, we provide clean, safe, reliable natural gas. We're always looking to get cleaner as we continue to protect our environment. And that's also why we support organizations like the National Aviary that are focused around the clock on conservation. Let's hear from them about some of their efforts.
A lot of people know about the National Aviary, but not a lot of people know all the conservation work that the National Aviary does. We are part of a lot of conservation work out in the field, and we do things here at the National Aviary. Staff members like myself are part of a lot of different projects. To learn more about the conservation work that the National Aviary does, you can check out our website, aviary.org.
We're also always working to make our environment cleaner through our work. That's why we've reduced emissions since 2019 by 17% over 2019 figures.
PittsburghUsedCars.com, with hundreds of used cars across 8 dealerships throughout the city. We provide the greater Pittsburgh area with a premium used car buying experience. Looking for unbeatable pricing on some of the best used cars in Pittsburgh? Visit Pittsburgh Used Cars Clearance Zone today. We're providing out-the-door pricing on all of our clearance zone inventory. PittsburghUsedCars.com.
Salute. I was saluting. Oh, shoot. Oh, well, I thought you were going to be the one.
Look at the consistency it has on your notes. All right, here we go. Ready?
Well, we're trying. Should we talk about it or you're just having it?
We're talking to our next guest about honey.
Wow.
It's made right here. And this is the fall version. And man, this is like eating a piece of candy.
We need to ask Leslie Bonsi to come on to find out if you know the problem that you had where you were eating peanut butter out of the jar.
Right, this is going to be that.
This is your new thing.
Problem. Wow, wow. So welcome to you, Jacob Late Night, Ryan Rust. Ryan, you are a filmmaker, colorist, color analyst, whatever you want to call it, you know?
yeah, a little bit of
depending on the day, right? Mm-hmm. And you made a film about your uncle,
yes.
About who is a beekeeper here in the area,
yes,
right?
Yes, here, yeah, Clinton, PA.
Yeah. So we're going to run some B-roll at any point when people get bored of looking at us, right? So Johnny knows when to hit the button. He's like, they're falling asleep now. Hit the button now.
Fair enough.
So first of all, welcome to you, Jacob.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we love having you. And John told me all about this, and obviously then I went to look around, and what an interesting thing, and who knew that Pittsburgh would be a place, right?
I mean,
these are the kind of stories that we're made of, because everybody thought we were this cold town, and now here we are with all these unique things like this. So tell us a little bit about how it all started for you.
Yeah, so for me, it really started... heard about my uncle having some bees, and I guess I was afraid of bees, didn't really think anything of them, you know, they sting you. And I went out to his house and I saw this whole operation, and I was like, this is not normal, you know, this is not a
and
normal
thing. And
what
was the operation? Did it look bigger? Oh, was it intimidating?
He has about 20 or so hives in his backyard. He's a carpenter.
Okay.
He built his own bee house. He has a pond. He has flowers and everything you can possibly imagine for the bees. And when I saw that and I saw him spinning honey, and as a filmmaker, I was like, it's time for a story.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. I love documentaries that are raw and real, and that's my approach to filmmaking. And when I saw all that, I was like, I have to tell this story.
So did you think at the time, oh, there have to be other people other than him, or, oh my gosh, he's crazy?
I think a little bit crazy what he does, because it's so unique. And I knew there's, you know, beekeepers out there, but the way he does everything, he builds everything by hand. All the frames, the hives, everything's from scratch. Nothing is just, I'm going to go and purchase it. I'm going to build it myself, which
and
I think makes
it unique.
What
kind of material?
Just wood that he goes and buys. He has a guy that he grabs the wood from, chops it down.
Everybody has a guy. He has a wood guy.
Right, he has a
wood guy.
Now, the crazy thing is that I'm going to go way out of my league in talking about this because of my brother-in-law. He's told me about the pallbearer bees or something like that. Do you know anything?
I don't know.
Different kind of bees that carry the dead bees out.
Yes,
so they
correct.
Do you think he made that up for you to repeat and it's not real?
Worker bees and all that kind of stuff. Right,
he's like,
let me set John up to be embarrassed on his podcast.
And you're like, there's a pallbearer bee?
No, but I can't remember if that's the name of it. It's something like that.
Yeah,
but
three types of bees in the hive.
Okay.
Three types of bees. You have the queen bee.
Yep.
And then you have the drone bee. And then you have the worker bee.
Yeah.
So there's three types in there. But yeah, inside the hive is just as clean as an ER room. It is so clean in there.
I've heard that, yeah.
Which, you know, it was crazy for how clean it is inside the hive.
So then you see this all going on. You're like, I have to tell this story. And how you're getting ready to air this or kind of show this in a public event, right?
Correct, yeah. So we filmed it the last 2 years, basically during the summertime, in the springtime, the best times, because right now the bees are sleeping, they have their honey, you know. But we filmed it, you know, spring, summertime, and then the fall. And now we have it together, we're ready to show it, and we're going to be premiering it at the Lindsay Theater in Swickley on February 4th.
Is there a cost to that?
Free.
There we go. Free. Jagoff is your friend for free things.
That is amazing.
Right.
So when you hear documentary, like, what can people expect? How did you do this? What was the filming like? Was it a big production crew?
Yeah, I guess you could say production value-wise, yes. A lot of my close friends that I hire on the normal basis for commercials and things like that, I told them about the idea, and they love passion projects. So we kind of all got together to shout it. So kind of huge shout out to all of them for helping me out. And we had a local post-production audio facility that's right up here in the North Hills, Red Cayman Studios.
Oh, okay.
Did the 5.1 mix for the theater. So I will tell you, when you're in the theater, you're going to feel the bees.
Is that right?
You're going to hear them buzzing around you.
Wow.
You're going to feel like it when it's in the hive. We shot it in a way. We shot an 8K. The highest resolution out of an IMAX that you could shoot it in, and you're going to feel as if you're in the hive with the bees, and you're going to hear it.
This is super cool. Wow. I want to go see it for sure. So what was the most unique thing you learned? Well, first of all, wasn't it cool when Maria was looking at pictures and she's like, he doesn't have any clothes. Like, he had clothes on.
Yeah.
He didn't have the beehive stuff on. He didn't have the outfit on. And
no.
You say he just goes in his regular clothes and he doesn't care.
Yeah, he has a true passion and a love for the bees, you know, and he doesn't mind up. He just goes up to them. He goes and talks to them.
Stop.
You know, they're his friends. They're working together to create honey. And yeah, I mean, he has got stung.
Sure.
None of the crew got stung, I will say that.
Interesting.
But he did. We were filming and I have the shot. He got stung right here.
You're pointing like to your sort of right above your eyes.
Yeah, right here. You could zoom in and see him kind of, you know, scrunching up because he got hit right there. But yeah, he has a love for it, and it's him and the bees are one. Which is really remarkable.
Wow.
Has it sort of rubbed off on you now? Like, do you find it interesting? Is it something you would want to do, or you'll stick to filmmaking?
My wife and I have talked when we get a house. I think we might have a small hive in the backyard.
Okay.
I doing this documentary and editing it was a whole thing. It's a 25-minute short documentary, but putting a story like this together and learning so much brings an appreciation for the honeybees.
Sure.
And what they do for our environment. So definitely down the road, maybe have a small hive in the backyard.
Okay.
And I will say the taste the honey straight from the comb is truly, it's something else.
Yeah.
Warm honey straight from the comb. He just pulls right off and gives. He
is
gave
that
me.
Right?
I was like, unbelievable.
Different than what we had.
Different
than
what we, yeah. That okay. was, I had the spring honey. So the fall honey that you tasted, it's darker. It's I guess say a little bit more rich, but the spring honey of the flowers is more floral. This honey is more like the weeds and things like that the bees are pulling from.
Wow.
You've learned so much.
I have. I mean, when you're sitting there and you're editing, and you know, I went through three different versions of the film before I got to the final one.
Sure.
And it's just like you're taking in so much, and you learn so much and have that appreciation for what these bees really do for us.
That's actually a question.
Yeah.
Did you learn it from watching it now, or you were so focused on making the movie, you missed a lot of things. And when it got back to the editing suite, said, "What? That happened? Yeah. My uncle
like
got stung in the middle
right?
of the head."
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. You kind of prepare yourself and you kind of do like a pre-interview with my uncle just to get some ideas how I want to structure it. But it really comes to the edit. I learn as I'm putting it together, I'm piecing this, piecing that. I'm relearning things that I didn't even know about. And it kind of just all comes together in that story.
Wow.
How does your uncle feel about this? Like, he has to feel like, wow, we're going to be on the big screen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is beyond excited. This is probably a huge moment in his life to have a story like this. The way, I mean, it's, if you look at it, and I hope the audience, hope you all can come out to see it. It's a project that we shot, I guess you could say low budget, but it would have been a very high production value.
Mm.
The amount of effort, the amount of experience that came on set, you know, myself, my whole team has, you know, you can look at over 20, 30 years experience put together, if not more, with what everybody knows coming together. We have, you know, my DP, Ryan Croboth, huge shout out to him for helping me film it. I mean, he shot stuff for CNN, the History Channel. So he's bringing what he's done for those shows.
Wow.
Here for my documentary to create that look, and I'm just super appreciative to my entire crew for really helping me put this together.
Nice. Now, what happens to it outside of Pittsburgh? You'll show this in Swickley on
February 4th.
Yep. It's free,
totally free.
And
that's
reminding
a Sunday,
everybody,
yes.
Sunday,
yeah.
No
yeah.
football for all
right.
of you.
I know,
no
right?
Football.
It's football break week.
Football break.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bye week. Yeah.
And,
or no, not the bye week.
It is our bye
yeah,
week. The audience
definitely.
Bye week. Great. And So what happens to it after this? Do you submit it to other film festivals, or there are certain types that only take 25-minute films versus 5-minute films? How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll be submitting the festivals. That's the plan. Kind of get it out there. You know, hopefully someone has some interest in it. But really it comes down to it. It's educating others. The film can only take you so far, but we want you to have questions at the end that makes you go online to learn more about honeybees, learn more about your local honey. And it's so important with that honey is it helps your allergies. You could put it on burns. There's so many things. So I just hope to really educate people, send to as many film festivals in the United States and overseas just to get people, you know, really educated.
So you have a passion now for honey.
I do, 100%.
Wow.
100%.
Wow.
So it's more than just putting in your tea. I mean, look at this charcuterie tray. There's a little bit. There's a
I feel like I want to dip some of the cheese.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I actually didn't think about it because you don't think, we've not been known, Pittsburgh, you know, for something like that. And we've heard people like Michelle Wright, you know, various people, who, your sister, you know, that you just talked about. But it's catching on. It's something that people more and more. Is there a reason for that? I mean, are we? Is it our climate that's changing?
Yeah, I mean, it's great for bees here, you know, and it depends. Like, I mean, obviously, you go to a local farmer's market. They have local, you know, beekeepers that sell it there, and it's just what we have around here. And if you go to Florida or if you go to California, the honey's going to taste different than what it tastes here in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, I guess
it's gonna be different. Or in Japan, you know, they have a different type of honey out there. So there's all different kinds of flowers and weeds that create that unique flavor that could just be to you know, North Hills or the South Hills. You know,
really. The short film is called Hive.
Hive, yes,
and it's going to be
not hard to forget. No. Right?
February 4th at what time?
2 p.m.
And people, do they go online to reserve as tickets so you at least know who's coming?
Correct, yeah. So you can go to the Lindsay Theater website if you know it, or you can go to hivefilmproject.com and you can actually learn about the film itself, learn about the crew, then also reserve tickets. And following the film, there will be a Q&A with myself, my uncle Mr. B, and some of the other crew if they have any questions on how we made it.
Super, super cool.
All right. We need to go.
You already gave us honey, but we're going to ask you, did you bring something for our junk drawer?
Does this sound tacky? We need to approach this differently. Right? Like,
no, that's it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's a unique item here. Okay. There is no honey in here.
Okay.
Because I did eat it.
All right, great talking to you, Ryan.
But this was given to all the crew, and it has Hive Film engraved. My uncle engraved on 2023, so you guys can have this.
Oh, that's...
There's no honey in it, but you guys can have this.
That is so sentimental.
That ranks right up there with the press pass we got from... from Greg Brown at the Pirates, for God's sake. That's an important one. Wow, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's totally cool.
Thank you so much for having me
on
here.
That really was kind. Yeah. See, I'll go. I'm going to this.
Time to play.
I want
to
hear the bees around me. I mean, I will freak out.
Play the music. Name that tune because we have, as you didn't hear, we have a game show February 9th, Pittsburgh Today Live versus Team Jagoff. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Don't be nervous. I'll save you if it's...
Okay, thank you.
Yes. You got it. All right, Monica, are you ready?
Three seconds.
Here we go.
Go.
I know. I can play this song. There's no way I'm going to guess the name
of
the artist.
Do you know who sings it?
No. I got a tag teamer.
For those of you listening to the podcast, you have to go watch the video because Rachel has ants in her pants right now.
I think she took my playlist.
Do you know who sings it? Can you sing it?
Oh, gosh,
and I said,
okay.
Hey, yeah.
Yes, there we go. I said, hey, what's going on? Do you need me to go on, Johnny? Are we good? Thank you for playing. I mean, you at least knew.
It was in there. Tag team, you got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we were teammates, this would all go down well.
It would.
Yeah, it makes me fear, like, I know these songs, but I know I could sing the chorus, but I know the names. So I feel like I should back out of Team Jagoff and put somebody else in this. That's a little smarter than
me. Things are happening
at this point.
Right now.
Like, I don't want to hurt our team. I don't want to hurt our team.
It was a pleasure to meet
you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
We
hope everybody floods. How many people does it hold?
169.
Oh, wow. We need to really push this.
We need to be busting at the seams.
You need to say, I want to go there, you Jagoff. We'll point you in exactly the direction
to
go.
And we'll hook you up with free tickets.
Okay. There you go.
Yes, free. Yes.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both so much.
All right. Next up, we're going to see what happened on Where You At, and we're talking to Pittsburgh royalty next.
If my younger self could see me doing these things now, I wouldn't believe it. To be a steam fitter, you need to be a problem solver. You can do instrumentation, hydronics, chillers, rigging, HVAC. I have this wonderful opportunity to grow my career.
It's not what you are that makes you a steam fitter. It's who you are. Over 100 years, and we're just getting started.
Mancini's Bakery, 97 years in business and still getting better. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where you will see various Pittsburgh personalities like Gretchen McKay, Super Bowl MVP Santonio Holmes, KDKA's own Mary Hours, and WPXI's Jenna Harner, learning how to make the famous Italian twist bread. Follow Mancini Bakery on Instagram and Facebook, and remember to ask for Mancini's.
I've been thinking that Rorick Automotive needs a new jingle.
Rorick Automotive got the best cars around Pittsburgh.
Driving a Rorick, I bought it at Rorick. Picked up my new car at Rorick Automotive.
I got friends at Rorick Automotive where the staff is nice and the dealership's loaded with brand new cars. And you can drive real far.
It's Monica Jagbragan in Elwood City for this week's Where You At, and I'm here hanging with Ashley. Now, Ashley, what is the name of your business that we're sitting at right now?
The name of my business is Revive.
All right, so tell me all about it. Why did you come up with it, and why Elwood City?
Revive got started. It was kind of my gift to myself for my 30th birthday. I went back to school, I got my esthetician license, and I started Revive all in 2017. And my husband and I had just recently relocated here, and there were a lot of small businesses really churning, trying to be up and coming, and I kind of just jumped in with that. And
it's a Where You At segment. Where are we going to next? What other place do you like to visit when you're here?
Probably like the crown jewel of Elwood City is National Grind. We're going to take a little ride over there and try out one of their seasonal drinks.
Now at a new location in Elwood City, we're hanging with Doug from Sidetracks. Doug, what's going on, sir?
Hey, how are you? We're playing a lot of board games today.
John and Rachel, you jag off late night. We're actually having a great time here. If you guys didn't choose to come out tonight, that's your fault.
Your loss.
There's extra alcohol and charcuterie for ourselves here. But first of all, thanks to Monica for going up to Elwood City. Always reminding you to every week check for a new G-Jet and a new Where You At on YaJagoff.com, thanks to Dryer Vent Wizard.
Yeah, and Monica had a really good time driving north. Erica J actually tipped her off on this place. So if you have a neighborhood that you want Monica, she really reaps the benefits because she's here with us in the studio. And when people come on, we're like, oh, Monica, that's a Where You At. So listen,
right.
Tip us
she gets
off.
The inside track. And speaking of Where You At, how about Where You At in McKees Rocks? Because that's where I grew up.
Yes.
And that's where our next guest is kind of from, because her father, almost said it again, her father, Joe Costanzo, owned the Prima Donna restaurant, which years ago was so like Pittsburgh famous.
Iconic.
It was
yes.
Iconic because it was a little 82 seat, I think I have that right, something 80 seat restaurant in Stowe Township and right down the street from Mancini's Bakery. And there were limousines outside all the time. There were movie stars in there. Tommy Lasorda from the Dodgers would go there. All these baseball players, everything would go there. So, first of all, cool. And there's a book about that. And to tell us about that is Maria Palmer. How are you?
Oh, so well. Thank
Maria,
you.
Maria, he just told the whole story.
I know. I feel like all I need to do is just say.
Just show
yeah,
up.
Just yeah,
exactly. Eat cheese and honey at
yeah,
this point, right?
Cheese and honey.
Right,
and,
right, right.
You know, a side of paper.
Right.
This I'm like, I feel like I can't compete.
Oh, you're good. Oh, please. You're good.
No, no. So you have been on this book tour, and this is a couple of times we've seen you come around. And it's called On the Rocks. So tell us a little bit about your dad and the basis of the book for those who might be listening for the first time. And if you're listening for the first time, you're a jagoff. Should have been doing it long ago.
Sure. So this project got started 17 years ago.
Wow.
And it really started as a family history project. And it started at a time where my dad was out of the restaurant. He was really missing the restaurant. So he loved to tell stories about back in the day. And if you caught us last time, we were on Q92, Rachel's dad came.
Oh, it was
and
a
it
riot.
Was just
yeah.
Who knows who.
Yes.
There's a lot of remember Joey's and Mikey.
Yes. Exactly.
Right.
Yes. It's just the good old days.
Yeah.
So that is just how my dad tells stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm a writer by trade. I work in the nonprofit industry. And I can tell what a good story is. And whenever my dad started telling me these stories, and he would say things like, did I ever tell you about the time that Danny Aiello came into town when he was filming The Cemetery Club and we sat down and shared a piece of veal parmesan? I was like, no, do tell.
Yeah, right.
He's like, did I ever tell you about the time when Johnny from the neighborhood brought in an after-hours stripper and then they got in a fight and the cops were on my back and he left and she passed out in the bathroom without pants, and then I had to get her back to her house? And I was like, no, do tell.
Wow, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it was just story after story after story, just like that. And I thought, you know, I think there is a commercial element to what is being said here, and I think we have the makings of a book.
Yeah.
And that's how this book first got started, and, you know, how it first got started and where it ended up. My dear teacher from Montour.
Mm-hmm. I love this part.
Ruthie, yeah. Which is also Colin's teacher. Ruthie Dines, Robbins now. She was editing books. She left Montour, moved to Buffalo, and she was editing books for published authors at her writers group in Buffalo. And she had heard, like, a very Pittsburgh.
Right.
Her son and I were good friends. We moved to LA and we kind of kept in touch. So whenever Ruthie would visit, she would also visit me. We'd have lunch. She had heard that I was working on this book. And so she asked if she could bring parts of it to her writing group. And she did. And they agreed on two things. And the first thing was that the book needed a whole lot of work, which I totally knew. And the second piece was they thought that this book also had a lot of potential to be something big. So it was from then on we started partnering together and we started making the workings of what is On the Rocks. And really the story is set in the 80s and 90s, and who doesn't love
the 80s and 90s, right?
I'm like hoping, yeah. Monica, you got to take some notes. You got to give me an 80s or a 90s song. No, maybe like a 90s song. That's my jam right there. But it really follows my dad, who was not somebody that went to the Culinary Institute and became a chef.
Exactly.
And, you know, he was just a postal worker that wanted to build this world-class restaurant in a very unseeming location of McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, at a time during the decline of what was happening in the Rocks. And he really struggled. It was not easy for him at first, but he ended up getting a big review. And that was really the start of what made the Prima Donna engine run. And we do talk about the celebrities and everybody that came there. And then, you know, every story has a good hook. And his sort of rose as quickly as it fell, because whenever I was 20 years old, the federal government knocked on my door and somebody had mentioned his name in a federal grand jury investigation, which lasted about 3 years, and he pled guilty to tax evasion charges, and that's all in the book. And you know, all of the
that's what I love, right?
Like, all
you're
the
not painting, it is a great story, but just like life, not everything is perfect.
No.
And so you told the stories, and that's what this is all about. And I think that what I love as a sort of insider but sort of outsider is that, being from Pittsburgh, I love that it's ours, but I love seeing what you're making of it outside of here, because people beyond Pittsburgh are loving it.
Yeah, it's so cool. And people show up at my events. Yes. I just had an event in Kissimmee, Florida, people.
Yeah.
But I just had this event there, and there was a whole group of friends that showed up, and all of a sudden, two Yinzers roll in.
Oh,
and totally.
Like, thank God.
Yeah. They're like, we're on vacation. And I'm like, why are you following me? No, you know, and they had no idea. Whenever they signed up for this cooking class that I was doing, they had no idea this was a Pittsburgh thing. But of course, it's like when you get a couple of Yinzers in the building, it breaks the ice. And these people are trying to feed me alcohol, and like, you know, they want to talk Steeler. Like, they, I mean, it was just like good old times. It was awesome. Yeah. So,
and Maria, every single one of my events. Because we just were talking about this yesterday. We had a meeting at Vandura.
Yes.
And we talked about how we want to do something, and they're all in, of course. But we were talking about the manner in which you approached this was not salesy pushy. It was very like, let me start this conversation a year in advance so that you know it's coming. And look at how much this has lasted. I mean, this all came out in the summer. Here we are into a new year and you're still getting, somebody walked in tonight and was like, I just read this story about, and it was you.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
It was your story.
Right. It's like, he says, is it about this picture of this restaurant with this guy in front of it?
Yeah.
I go, yeah, that's her dad.
I mean, so you really have your finger on the pulse of how people need to consume this information.
Yeah, you know, I always put myself in the mind of the consumer. So I won't do things like whenever I do my cook and book classes, I know that a lot of people here in Pittsburgh have already read the book. So whenever you buy a cook and book class, you can either buy just the class or you can buy the class with a discounted book, because I'm thinking about it from the consumer point of view. How would I want to consume this? And you know, I try to put together content that works for people, that doesn't waste somebody's time, that's
right.
fun,
sure.
that, you know, really is inviting and it's welcoming and it's about what the prima donna really was, because I think people are missing that nostalgia.
Sure. So when you do the cooking book, what's the cook part? What do we learn?
So tomorrow we actually learn ricotta gnocchi and marinara sauce.
Sounds so good.
And then that's the first hour or so of the cooking book. And then we sit down and have a full course meal and a little book discussion. We mic up Josie. We have no idea what will happen. Who knows what he will say? I don't know. It's Q&A style, very casual. And then we do a book signing and we have those really large pop-ups that I bring of the, you know, old prima donna building, the food, Donna and Joe standing together in like the wall of plaques. So, you know, it's very nostalgic and very fun. And the biggest problem I have with them is I can never get people to leave.
That's right.
They come. I'm like, I can't advertise this as a 5-hour event, but you know, they'll come, it's 2 hours, and you know, at hour 4 or 5, I'm like, all right, guys, I have a really early flight.
Right.
I have to go, or I have to relieve my babysitter. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
You know, like, you guys can party all night, but I gotta go.
When you're in other cities, what are they grabbing on to? Is it book?
Yeah.
Is it the food? Is it, you know, you have a really good pitch.
For people who don't know this.
If I say it's just a really good pitch, that means I'm watering it all down. But they're grabbing onto it for some reason. Is it the twists and turns in the book?
I think it's a couple of things. So, first of all, we're in a time that we all have a little ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to consume something that's long or boring. And this is very short chapters. And this is a book that people who don't read like to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read it at night, it's 2 to 3 pages and then you're done with the chapter, basically.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's quick. It's, you know, everything kind of ends with a hook. It's self-contained. And I think also the overall theme of this book is really one of hope, one of resiliency, love, a lesson learned of whenever you kind of lose everything, what do you have left and what comes out of that? How do you sort of rise from the ashes? You know, how do you become that phoenix? Mm. And I think that's a message that really resonates with people, and people love the human element of things.
Yep.
You know, whenever I was writing this with my dad, one of the really challenging things was talking about all of the hard things that have happened to our family.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do that, you automatically disingenuize, I don't even know if that's a word, authenticate yourself.
We say it is.
People want to see somebody that's human, that has flaws, but also is kind of honest and real. And I think that I've at least heard that that's kind of how this comes across. Well,
and to see your dad today is pretty cool. Like, knowing he has, he literally has rebounded, you know, mentally and everything. And, you know, it's just like, he's just a charge to sit and talk to. So, any of these things you get to go
through. He's having so much fun.
Where does everybody get the book?
So it's really wherever books are sold, mm-hmm. Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble. We're at in all of the Barnes & Noble stores here in
Pittsburgh.
Is that
a little bit surreal? You know,
that's
as a
like,
writer,
a lot of crazy, yeah. Especially because whenever I first pitched this to bookstores, they were like, huh, no. And then it's like, okay, so we have this little write-up in the Trib, and we have this going on, and, you know, we were just in the Post-Gazette.
And Joanne Harrop was just here last week and talked very highly of you. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
How funny.
She is my bestie.
I love her.
Total shout out to Joanne. She's great. Her book is absolutely amazing, too.
Yeah,
A
exactly.
Daughter's Promise. Yeah. Everybody should pick that up. That's got a lot of really great stories in it, too.
Nice. So, all right.
Maria, we love spending time with you. We're so glad. It was very serendipitous that you came on tonight, but we're so happy that you could.
I know.
And we just enjoy any time with you. And full disclosure, we look for other reasons, you know, to work with you because it's a great...
I feel the same way.
We'll be announcing one soon,
So
did you bring something for the junk drawer?
Even though you were like, listen, she was a last minute guest.
Right.
I get a text. I was going to just come up and hang out. Then I get a text from John. Can you be a guest at 4:30? I'm like,
and we didn't even tell her about the junk drawer. She just carries things around.
Yeah. I just carry random crap
I
around.
Do that out of
like,
my
I,
car.
I feel like my life is a little bit of a junk drawer.
There you go.
I brought a little bookmark. On the Rocks bookmark.
On the Rocks
this
bookmark.
This is great. That has the QR code. So not only can you buy the book, but if you put it in your junk drawer and you need to take a note or something, you pull that thing out, write down that number.
Nice. Do we have to hold this up there? Then this is Maria's dad, Joe, who we were talking about earlier. So that is going in our junk. That's really good because it's nice and slim. It'll still fit in the same junk drawer.
Because the junk drawer is getting a little bulky.
Right. All right. Are you ready to play Name That Tune?
Yes.
No pressure.
All right.
Monica, I don't think you should make it easy on her just because she requested it.
Look at Rachel. She's
very competitive. I kind of already did, though. Yeah, I already picked it out, so we're ready to go.
All right, do it.
3 to 4 or 5 maybe seconds, kid, because that's a lot. 1, 2, 3. Here we go.
Okay.
Me the one who shows you. I'm the one who wants to be with
Is that
you.
The title?
Mr. Big.
She could be on my team. Remember when John?
There you go. Right. I'm Homer Simpson. I'm fading into the hedges right now. That's for sure. I'm never gonna make it.
Maria gave me the look. She's like, I got this, girl.
All right, so Maria, thank you again for pitch hitting as a guest. Thank you again for always gracing us with your presence.
Anytime.
You see the charcuterie tray here that you've been seeing all night. We are going to play Pick It next on your Jagoff Late Night.
Welcome to Flamini. Can I take your orders?
You need a tablet?
No, we don't use this. We know how to yell the sandwich to cook. Here we go.
Thank you, Tony.
Anytime.
Let's dig in.
It's John and Rachel. We love to dig into iconic Pittsburgh places like Flamini's. So we brought our friends from People's Gas. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's that time of year again when homeowners are going to start those outdoor projects. So what we need you to know is please call at least 3 business days before you dig.
It doesn't matter if it's a big project like a pool or a new garage or something small like a mailbox, always call before you dig.
I called. We can dig in.
So please call 811 3 business days before excavating so you don't have to call 911.
Mancini's Bakery, 97 years in business and still getting better. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where you will see various Pittsburgh personalities like Gretchen McKay, Super Bowl MVP Santonio Holmes, KDKA's own Mary Hours, and WPXI's Jenna Harner, learning how to make the famous Italian twist bread. Follow Mancini Bakery on Instagram and Facebook, and remember to ask for Mancini's.
Rach, I have to vent. Here's my dryer vent. This one time, I had found a Lee Press-On nail in my dryer stuff, and it was not mine.
Vom in the throat. Ugh. One time, my kids left Kleenexes from one of their worst whooping coughs in their pocket.
Guys, you guys are such jagoffs. That's not the type of dryer venting we're talking about. We professionally clean your dryer vent to increase your dry time and save you guys some money.
For so 4 hours. Wet, like 10 pounds
you
wet.
You jagoffs, you need to get your dryer vents clean.
Hey everyone, it's Channing with Made in PGH coming at you with the 4-1 to-dos this very chilly week of January. I wanted to talk to you about dry January. So if you are still participating in dry January, even after the Steelers lost this week, congrats. And we're at the home stretch, and I want to bring you a lineup of awesome bars and restaurants who have some really great mocktails for you to try. We have them broken down by neighborhood, so very convenient for you. If you're around the North Shore or North Side, Fat Cat, Fig and Ash, Mike's Beer Bar, Shorty's has some great mocktails, as well as 40 North. If you're in the downtown area, you have Barcadia, Bridges and Bourbon, City Works, Con Alma. They always have a great featured mocktail for the month. And Sly Fox Brewing and Space Bar Pittsburgh, which is located in Market Square. But another great stop downtown would be the Commoner at the Monaco. They are donating $1 from every mocktail during the month of January to Teetotal Initiative Pittsburgh. So a great way to give back this month. If you're around the Strip District, Kaya, Coupe de Ville, 11, King Fly Spirits, and PA Market has some great mocktails as well. Station Square, the Grand Concourse, has some great mocktails, as well as Tupelo Honey. Mount Washington, you have Bigham Tavern, Bottle Rocket Social Hall, Coughlin's Law, and the Summit 412. On the East End, just to name a few, you have Square Cafe, you have Alta Via, Hidden Harbor, Mixtape, so many other ones. So if you just go to madeinpgh.com, you will see our lineup of all the other bars and restaurants that you can stop in and get your mocktail and finish out dry January. And that is all I have for you this week. Thank you for tuning in to Ya Jag Off Late Night. Don't forget to follow me at madeinpgh on Instagram and Facebook, and madeinpgh.com.
Jag Off Late Night, as we wrap up, we're playing Picket. If you don't know what that means, well, this guy's going to come up here. Monica is here, and Megan is here with her cheese. Megan, what kind of cheese do we have Monica comparing?
Monica is going to taste triple cream brie with batch fig jam, and that only comes around once a year, the fig jam.
I love
and
fig.
And this is the okay. first one that you're talking about, right?
Do it.
Yep. Okay, cool.
And Monica likes cheese, so no one think that it's not something like, oh, does it look so good in the brie?
That's Monica chewing.
Yeah. We wondered what that noise was. Oh, okay.
All right.
That one's good.
And what's the next
one?
Choice,
okay,
Megan?
The second one is going to be an Irish aged cheddar, and she is going to taste that right on top of that dried... orange.
Is it an orange?
All right.
Candied orange.
And Monica, we're handing you our Kenny Pickett because you have to pick which one of these you like best. Do it.
They're both awesome, but I'm going to go with the
Irish cheddar. Mm-hmm. Pick it.
I mean, that was like hands down.
There
like, you didn't
go.
Waste any
nicely
time.
Done,
yes.
Done.
Are you
so
a brie person usually or no?
No, not at all. Nice. Okay. I only know goat cheese and cheddar and maybe like the Fiesta
Monica,
cheese.
Monica, thanks
Mexico.
For being our stunt cheese eater. Megan, thank you for coming. And Maria and Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you
to Rorick Automotive. And thank you to Dryer Vent Wizard. We'll see you guys next week.
Wow, I got cut off. It was one of my favorite episodes.
Do it.
That's it. I just want everyone to know it's one of my faves. Have a great night.